So that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. And Sandy, thank you for offering a challenge to open up a different point of view, and I hope that I can do that with this scripture. I never paid a whole lot of attention to this scripture until in seminary, my one professor, who was from India, he kept reading the Bible in class and quoting things, and we'd look at him and say, finally one of the students said, "What version are you using?" He said, "Well, actually, I have the Greek New Testament in my hand, and I'm translating it into English as I go." Whoa. Always a fresh new perspective on scriptures. And then he read this scripture that you just shared with us. And he said, you know that one of the strongest statements, at least in the New Testament, is in this scripture. Jesus says, come on, come on, come on. You, come on, follow. Come on. I invite you, follow along. And they come up with, well, at least one excuse seems like it's a valid, good excuse. Not now, I've got to go bury my father. Can you quote what he said after that to him? Let the dead bury the dead. Say, what? Someone else comes up to him, and I got to go home and say goodbye to folks first. Now, foxes have dens, they have places to live. Birds of the air, they've got nests, they've got places to roost, they've got places to live. The Son of Man, you follow me, you're always on the move, you're always on the move. Well, first of all, let's put this in a context. Jesus, we can never forget this, is a Middle Eastern Jewish rabbi. And rabbis in the Middle East had certain techniques. And those techniques were intended to take whatever how we usually interpret things, and throw it on its head so that we can't look at it in the same way. And sometimes they're like this big metal wedge that drives right into the middle of what we believe and how we usually think about things and splits it in half, and then we have to say, huh, what do we do with this? And they make us think in a new angle, in a new way. Let the dead bury the dead. Jesus is not saying that that's not a valid excuse. He's intentionally making us stop and say, wait, what? So once he has our attention at the depth, then he comes in with a deeper teaching. So, today is day 2, technically, the second week. I started this last week, but this is really the first week of starting a new series of practice, 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 maturing in faith to include head, heart, hands, and feet. In other words, all of who we are. Mature faith includes everything. So, I've been asking you in the past, and now we're going to orbit around daily practices again. And I've asked you to try to carve out... Did I hit a dead spot here? to practice some way, shape, or form of connecting with God every day. And I know that many of you are as busy as I am. I know that. And I know some of you who have come up to me and said, oh, you're going to retire. Well, let me share some things with you. And here's a common theme. I keep hearing this again and again and again and again. Those of you who are retired are saying to me, I have no idea how I did everything I used to do when I was working. I don't know how I'm busier now than I have ever been. Thanks for your encouraging words there. How do you find time to do a daily discipline when you're already up to here? We have valid excuses. Talk about spiritual disciplines with Jen and Richie Weitzel. They both work multiple jobs. They now have 3 little girls. As soon as they wake up, they hit the ground running. And now even asleep, I'm sure that's being interrupted. How do you and I find time Is Jesus saying to us there is no valid excuse? If we can't even bury our own father? Come on. No, he's making us stop in our tracks and think in a new way, a new perspective. I've got to drive an hour to get here. And so I've got to leave things often at home, unfinished, get in the car so I can come up here and hopefully finish those things, which often doesn't happen. So thinking about this message that I'm sharing with you right now today, I happen to think that, wait, I saw this scripture in a whole new way. Jesus isn't saying there's no good excuse at all, ever. He is saying don't put anything else higher priority than God. And so use the things we're doing. So if you and I too connect with God, so if you and I have a day when we literally don't have a minute to enter into some kind of a spiritual discipline, to kind of step off to the side and put that in our day. If you have a day like that, or many, then the thought occurred to me to see it in a new way. Use what we're busy doing as the spiritual discipline. So, did I have time to finish my morning devotion? Not on the one particular day this past week. Did I have time to finish preparing for this message I'm sharing with you? No, not on that particular morning. I had to get in the car and drive up here. So what did I do during my drive? I turned it into my daily practice time. I went and buried the dead, but I kept the connection with God as the most important thing while I did that. I went home, like the second one in this scripture, and said goodbye to my folks at home, but I went home and I kept God first place while I did that, while I said my goodbyes. Make sense? We don't even have little grandkids around anymore, so I don't have toys to illustrate what I was going to do. So you can laugh all you like. This is supposed to be, instead of a fly swatter, this is all I had, and one of the dog's toys, this is supposed to be a paddle ball. Do you remember those paddle ball things? It's the best I could do. God didn't give me this idea till this morning, and I just went hunting furiously before I had to drive up here. All right, in a paddle ball, imagine that this is us, we're the ball, and we are tethered to I, me, my, mine, ego. And all of us are in this mindset right now. We have to be, or we wouldn't survive. We would not last 15 minutes if we didn't have an ego inside of us that kept us safe and alive. So this isn't a bad thing. But this is ego. How far can we go away from ego? We're always coming back to and orienting everything we think, say, and do to ego. Not very far, right? When we do a daily practice, we start to orbit around something new. So instead of ego, we start to orbit around God. And I didn't have a piece of elastic or anything big enough, so this will have to do. You and I do daily practices, and what happens is, instead of orbiting around, come on, please work fingers. Instead of, yes. That's us. Now, after connecting with God with some kind of a daily practice, look at how long, and imagine this is elastic, how much farther I can travel, because now I'm connected to and always coming back to, not me, 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 me through the day. I'm always connected to and coming back to God through the day. Look at how much more I can do. Look at how much farther I can go. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, and God shares all of those things with us. It's a much longer tether than this, is it not? This is daily practices. It gets us unhooked from coming back to me, 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 me all the time in just this little distance, and it gives us way more freedom and power to go into life, engage, and then come back to God. That's the value of daily practices. When we put everything we do during the day can become literally our practice. So if you have to go to work tomorrow morning, it can become your daily practice. Maybe not every minute of it, but at least one part of your day, you can consciously say, ah, okay, this is my time. I'm connected to God here. Look at how much more I can do when I'm not just connected to me. Amen.